From ABC News Radio, KMET 1490 in Southern California, this is Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with your host, Tyler Jorgensen.
All right, I want to welcome everybody out to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio here on ABC News. And if you're catching us on video, get a special treat because we're here live with Bedros Koulian at the Fitbody Bootcamp headquarters and Koulian Consulting. And we just got an amazing tour, so you're going to want to click the link here and check that out and see and learn more about what's going on here. But thank you so much for opening your doors to me and letting me come in here and visit.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming out, man. It's great to be hanging out in our own state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just in Boise, Idaho together, right?
Right.
Wow.
Setting world records, you know, normal things.
Normal stuff. Yeah.
Bedros, one of the first things, like, I've kind of been in your periphery for a little while, kind of getting to know you from the outside.
Sure.
Before we've gotten to know each other over the last year. What do you think people identify you as? If somebody that you didn't know was like, hey, who is Bedros? What would they say?
I think right now they probably identify me as that fitness business guy. The guy that helps fitness businesses, gym owners, personal trainers take it to the next level. That's probably the box that people would put me in.
Right.
Yeah.
How is that different from how you define yourself?
That's not that far off, other than the fact that, like everybody else, we go through phases of life. And as I've grown our Fitbody Bootcamp franchise, and as I've helped many of my clients go from just making one or two gyms successful to them opening up 7, 8, 10 gyms at a time, I realized that I've got a gift. I've got a gift of building empires. And so the new phase of my life is helping entrepreneurs build empires, turn their business into an empire. And so people go, well, does it get frustrating when you're still known as that personal trainer business guy? No, I mean, I'm still a personal trainer at heart and I still work out every morning. I you put me in front of a trainer, I can talk, you know, fitness, nutrition all day long. But like anyone else, there's phases of life and I'm going through it. And the new phase right now for me is building empires. Like I'm building one with our brand. Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to do a little bit of a dive into the journey. But let's start in the back. So where are we now? Tell us a little bit about where Fitbody Bootcamp is today, where Bedros is today.
Yeah, well, where we are now is in our giant headquarters. And if this video took place maybe even 8 months ago, we'd be in a much smaller 4,000 square foot location. And so, you know, when people see this location on social media, they'll, you know, oftentimes I get asked, hey, can I come and take a tour? And because I'm redoing my corporate office and I want some influence. But the reason we have this business or this building is because Fitbody Bootcamp has been growing so quickly. In fact, this is our second year on the Inc. 5000 list. Out of 18 million businesses in the United States, we're on the Inc. 5000 list. And truth is, this could have been our third year, but we wanted to fly under the radar. We could have been an Inc. 500 the first year, because it's all about the fastest growth, right?
Sure.
So a company that went from 0 to 300,000 could be in the Inc. 500, whereas let's say we went from 12 to 20 million, right? And so but we wanted to fly under the radar, so we didn't submit for the Inc. 500. And the last 2 years we did, and so we hit the Inc. 5000 list. But you'd come to our corporate office back then, a year ago, and it didn't represent who we are. So today we're in 6 different countries. Fitbody Bootcamp locations are in 6 different countries, 600 locations worldwide. And we are adding a new location on the global map every 36 hours, which,
wow.
Just to give you an idea, Starbucks is adding a location on the map every 24 hours, adding 2 locations. We're adding 1 location every 36 hours. So they've been around since 1974. We've been franchised since 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
So massive growth. I think numbers now into like over 600 locations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, Bedros and your consulting company is also growing. You run 3 masterminds, right?
Yeah, 3 masterminds and a private coaching service for the, I guess, the ego-driven people who don't feel they can play well in a mastermind. They want one-on-one time with me.
Right.
And that's okay, too. I get that. I understand that. Some people want to protect their information or just feel like they'll do better one-on-one. But, yeah, 3 masterminds and private coaching. And it's interesting because while I come from the fitness world, only one of my masterminds is for fitness business owners. The rest are for online entrepreneurs, business owners who want to take their business from $1 million, $2 million to 10, 20, 30, 50 million. And several of my clients are now New York Times bestselling authors, thought leaders, and it's so neat to be able to influence their business and their impact.
Okay. So you're crushing it. I'm super impressed. And I know in many ways this is still the tip of the iceberg for what you have in front of you.
Sure.
But the road hasn't always been rosy, and the road hasn't always been perfect. So now let's flash all the way back to the beginning. What was your first entrepreneurial jump?
Oh, man, my first entrepreneurial job was, I was a DJ. I bought two Technique 1200 turntables. Ed can appreciate this. And I was a DJ, and it went to hell in a handbasket within the first 9 months. Like, I couldn't afford the Technique 1200s, and I bought them off of consignment from, like, pawn shop. Uh-huh. And I couldn't even afford to make the payments, and so I played, like, two gigs. They were both, like, free gigs, like a friend's birthday party and another friend's birthday party, and then right. They took it away from me.
Right.
That was it. The second gig was an entrepreneurial venture, an online supplement company in 1997. I probably had one of the first online supplement companies called TotalMuscle.com. And AOL, right, America Online, I was literally going through AOL profiles, and if it said bodybuilding, powerlifting, fitness, I would handwrite it. There was no email broadcast service. I would handwrite a email to you and then put the link in there. And so my goal every night before I went to sleep was to send out 300 emails to 300 people whose profiles I read. They didn't have address verification service on shopping carts back then. And so I would get these orders for like $1,800, $2,400, and I wanted to deliver great service. I'd pack those supplements up, Tyler, and I'd send them out the next day within like hours of the order coming in, only to find out it was from a stolen credit card. Oh. So the credit card owner decides that they're going to do a chargeback. Yep. Whoever ordered it got a whole bunch of supplements. Yep. Of course, I'm not a big company. I'm operating it out of my bedroom of my apartment. And so it didn't take long for me to actually, well, go out of business there. And I used the last bit of money I had, which I should have paid my rent, but I bought more supplements. They expired. I couldn't sell them fast enough. And the apartment manager kicked me out. And so I had to live out of my Toyota pickup for several months, pick up the pieces and move on.
Okay, so distilling that to a really small thing, homeless to multi-million dollar headquarters, right? Like with plush, crushed velvet, wallpaper, and all kinds of stuff, right? So there's a couple of steps in between there.
Sure.
So one, how did you not lose the desire to create with those failures? I think sometimes people let their failures define them.
Yeah.
How did you resist that?
Part of it is I think I just come from this family of pig-headed people. My dad's stubborn, my mom's stubborn, you know, which is great because my dad escaped a communist country, brought us to the United States. I didn't speak English. I didn't understand the culture. We were broke, but my dad was pig-headed and stubborn, and he made it happen, you know. We never went without eating. We never went without the basic essentials. I didn't have a great upbringing,
right. But
we didn't go to bed hungry.
Yep.
Some of the food we got was out of the dumpster that we had to pick out from behind a grocery store, but that just means it's expired, hasn't necessarily gone bad.
Sure.
Anyway, so long story short, part of it is I have that pig-headedness from my dad and my mom, and I know it. But the other thing is, I also knew I was unemployable. When I had a job as a fry cook, I didn't enjoy it. When I had a job at a bagel store, I didn't enjoy it. When I had a job at Disneyland, I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed my coworkers. I didn't enjoy others telling me what to do. When I wanted to get creative with something, they said, that's not how we do things. And I felt like I was being stifled. So I realized quickly, I'm unemployable. And if I want to work my own way, I have to be the boss. And so I was hell-bent on, if this doesn't work, I got to do the next. I got to find a job that I own. So it really started off with me owning a job and then becoming an entrepreneur and building a business. And then ultimately, you know, a decade later, building an empire.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, so you hit something really important there, which is that self-employed is really the first step. But for many people, that's just owning your job.
Sure.
Like I owned a franchise once a long time ago, and it essentially was the most expensive minimum wage job I ever owned.
Sure.
Or had, because I basically was just buying the job and the responsibility and it wasn't a great franchise like yours are, so it didn't have the ability to grow and do things. And it was time to move on, so went on to the next thing. How do you help people bridge that gap from being self-employed to being a business owner?
Well, it's real simple because sooner or later, self-employed is going to burn you out. I'm guessing that's probably what happened with you, right? You said it was the most expensive minimum wage job you've ever had. And I understand that because I've been in that position. When I owned my own personal training business, man, you tell me you wanted to work out at 4 a.m., I'm there. You wanted to work out at 11 a.m., I'm there. So I had clients all spread out throughout the day. Last client was at 9 o'clock, so by the time I'd actually get done training them is 10 p.m., right? And so you do burn out quick no matter what when you own a job. So the pain is a great motivator. So typically people will find me when they're in a world of pain. Hey, I'm a personal trainer. I own my own personal training gym. Me and my wife are trainers. Now I feel like I don't even want to see my wife because we're in here all day together. Then we go home together. We're talking about work. Our relationship is falling apart.
Right.
So I always use pain as a great motivator right off the bat. And I let people know that you could either continue to be in pain or you can step up to something known as systems. And they go, what's a system? And I always define system as I break it down into an acronym. System is save yourself time, effort, and money. And if you look at a system as an acronym, save yourself time, effort, and money, you go, all right, what can I do? Sometimes you have the money to hire an assistant to make the follow-up calls. By hiring an assistant for $13, $14 an hour, you're buying back your time so you can do more valuable things like selling. An assistant can't sell a multi-$1,000 training program, but they can certainly follow up and call and make sure that lead comes in there to be sold, right?
Right.
And so by creating a system, and they go, well, and then what do I do with the assistant? Well, you might want to create answers to the most commonly asked questions, right? Canned responses.
Right.
And when we pick up the phone, how do we answer it? So one system at a time, we begin to create freedom for my clients. And soon they go, wow, I'm making more money. I'm actually back in love with my spouse. I'm able to work on self-care again. Because the next thing happens is when you are have the most expensive minimum wage job, you let your body go to hell, right? Your health go to hell. And so the self-care becomes important. Systems take over. You run the systems. Systems run your business. And before you know it, you start thinking scale. Because after systems, you go, I think I could do this with a second location.
Right.
Yeah. And then that's when they start thinking like an entrepreneur. So the entrepreneurial gene doesn't kick in until you have some level of freedom from that slavery that you created for yourself.
Yeah, I did a kind of a rant post a while back on Facebook, and it was that self-employment is one of the greatest lies in America because yeah. People think that being self-employed is freedom. But in many ways, it's like the greatest trap if you don't take the next steps, which you just defined, or you know, systems and scale, and using that as a stepping stone. Too many people, instead of using it as a stepping stone, just stop there.
That's it. They think self-employment is the holy grail. It's not.
No. If that's your goal, stay in the job world.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's going to be some other security there. Now, if it's a stepping stone, great. Move forward. But
how do we get people to see it as a stepping stone, though?
That's a great question. I thought we were getting that from you. But,
I mean, because this is part of my frustration is how do I get someone to see it? Because they go, well, I'm self-employed. I'm good. No one could ever fire me. It's almost like, okay, well, that's a great badge of honor. If that was the only thing you were looking for, no one would ever fire you if you just did your job right.
Right.
You didn't have to go and take out a loan and go upside down and stress out at night. I'd rather you clock out at 5 o'clock, turn off your brain and go worry about your family and your
yes.
fun.
Right.
And so self-employment is not the ultimate goal. It's actually creating a business that will feed a lifestyle
correct.
That can be scaled, that can be passed along to family members or sold, right? It's either going to be a legacy or it's going to have legs and be sold. And
I like that.
But no one is teaching that out there for some reason. They just go get self-employed. It's the American dream, but it's really the American nightmare.
It is 100%.
Yeah.
And I think, so thinking on your question a little bit, how do we get people to see that? I think one, you do what you're doing already, which is showing them that there's a way to do it, that you've walked the walk, you've gone the journey, and here's what it looks like on the other side. And two is something that I want to talk about, which is KPIs and setting new goals. Because sometimes what happens is we have a win and we're so excited about that win that we're almost scared to set a bigger goal and fail because winning felt so great. One thing I've learned about successful people is they're willing to talk about their failures just as much as their successes.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes once we've gone through two or three failures and we have some success, we're scared to taste failure again.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, I think part of that comes down to just changing the definition of failure into learning experiences and opportunities to improve.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, really painting the picture of what the next steps are and what it can look like and being able to be there, like what you've done for me over the last year is show me just by living what a better example is of where I would want to take my business.
Sure.
Right? So, but let's talk a little bit about KPIs.
Yeah.
Because that to me is the number one indicator of when somebody is running a job and probably not even doing it well as a self-employed person or they're on the path to becoming a business owner. They one know what a KPI is and they know what theirs are.
Yeah. Yeah. So where KPIs are concerned, and this I'm really glad this topic came up. So a KPI for those who don't know is a key performance indicator, right? And no matter as the CEO, I have a key performance indicator. If I am not in front of enough traffic, right? And your radio show, your podcast, that's traffic. If I'm not getting the traffic I need, my sales team can't convert that traffic into prospects and leads and then paying clients and franchisees. And so they have their own KPIs. They have to turn at least 8 people a month. Each sales rep has to turn at least 8 people a month into a franchisee. And so when they don't hit those KPIs, it's not that they're fired. When I hit those KPIs, it's not that I'm fired, but we go right into problem solving. What can we do about it? But there's that old saying, that which is not tracked is not improved. And if we can't track and measure something, we don't improve it. So it's not the sexy part of business. The sexy part of business, I ran a Facebook ad and people are commenting and liking. That's
right.
Sexy.
Right.
And Seth Godin wrote a great email about that recently. He goes, do you live for dopamines or do you live for serotonin? Right? The dopamines are, I ran a Facebook ad, people are liking, commenting, saying how awesome Fit Body Bootcamp is. Great. Dopamines are up.
Yep.
But if that's not getting us enough leads to convert into franchisees, long-term success generates serotonin. Serotonin is what gives us peace of mind, better sleep, right? Calmness, stress reduction. Dopamines is an immediate high and it feels good. And so unfortunately, KPIs and systems are serotonin driven,
yep.
Right? Getting on a pod, this is dopamine.
Yeah.
I'm on a dopamine high right now,
right?
But I also know that as soon as this ends, I'm going into a 5-hour meeting with the private coaching client, that's serotonin. To see him and his wife scale their business over the next years to come, that is long-term serotonin high that's better for my body and my psyche. And so KPIs are just that. It's serotonin. Systems are serotonin. And if we don't measure through KPIs, key performance indicators, then we end up running our business by the seat of our pants. In fact, I asked the guy who's going to be here, I said, send me your P&L report. He does $44,000 a month out of his gym. Not bad. $44,000 a month. $41,000 of it is expenses. $3,000 of it is what he takes home. Now, our lowest level content writer who's been on board with us for about 120 days makes about $3,000 a month. She has no stress. She can just clock in and clock out. She gets benefits and a 401k that we give her. And we're building out a private gym for our team members.
Right.
He's got a private gym that he can't even work out in because he doesn't want to be in that gym because it's sucking out $41,000 of his $44,000.
Yep.
And when I asked, well, what are your key performance indicators and what are the metrics? Do you know what your payroll is? What percentage of your revenue is payroll? I don't know.
No.
Well, can't exceed more than 30%. If it does, that's like a universal red flag. And so he didn't know. How much of it is rent? Well, I know rent because it's a fixed number. And so we do have to get into the grime of things, the unsexy stuff, if we want to be successful. Now, the good news is by the time he leaves here at the end of the day, he'll know how to open up the gap between, see, because the ego, it's so sexy to tell someone, bro, I make $44,000 a month. And you do the math, multiply it by 12, you're like, dang, that's half $1 million a year.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're taking home. You know, revenue feeds the ego, profit feeds the family.
Yep.
And his profit right now is not feeding the family.
No, that's the scary profit because that's one bad month and you're done.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So he's in a position now where he's going to leave here and know exactly how to open up the gap. Because looking at his P&L report this morning before, you know, I sit with him later this afternoon, I already know what we need to trim away. Some things are going to be tough conversations with employees who are being overpaid, grossly overpaid. And then other things are restructuring his marketing where he can get a higher ROI.
So because I've done some stuff in the gym space, right? I recently was a partner in 5 gyms that I'm no longer into. I know that world really well, and I've helped open a lot of gyms through being an equipment company, and I've watched this all the time, and I know that's one of the things that you provide also through your franchises. You provide kind of the systems. You're basically, you get the systems handed to you, right? And that's a great thing. But that problem that you're seeing, right, I think that is just way more common than anybody wants to admit. And I think that's the first thing when we talk about it being a stepping stone from being self-employed to being a business owner is being willing to get raw and recognize and bury the ego and accept help.
That's it. Do the dirty work because it's so easy these days, especially as an entrepreneur, as the front. Because, by the way, when did entrepreneurism become like being a actor or celebrity? It's like all of a sudden it's hip, right, to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's like I remember having ulcers so bad, and if you want me to be fully transparent, I hope you don't mind. I used to have ulcers so bad that I'd sit on the toilet and look in the toilet afterwards, and there was blood, bro. Right? That's what an entrepreneur is being like. An entrepreneur is someone who pays his team and they go, shit, there's nothing to pay myself, so I'll charge up Top Ramen on my credit card.
Yep.
But it's become so sexy on social media right now. And part of, excuse me if I go on a rant here, part of this is because through social media, again, we get the dopamine high when you can flick that thing on Instagram and Facebook that says entrepreneur or public figure, and then they only have, you know, 200 followers, and maybe their business they just incorporated, but they have no actual revenue coming in. And you got to get in the muck of it. It's so easy to make, you know, watch what Gary Vaynerchuk, Andrew Frisella, and all these guys are putting in and create your own version of that video and put it on social media. And then you get the likes and the comments and the loves and the shares. You feel good about it for a moment. That's not what an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur is someone who is in the grime, running the systems, hiring the staff, fending off the competition, figuring out how to grow when economy crashes.
Right.
You know, Gary Vaynerchuk was in New York growing VaynerMedia, and I was in Chino Hills growing Fitbody Bootcamp in 2009 when the economy crashed. Everyone else was retreating. We looked at it as, well, media is cheaper to buy now, right? No one else is competing for my customers. And we were in the grime saying, I think when the economy turns around, if it ever turns around, I might be on top.
Gary said something really interesting when we were both there in Boise, that he said, you know, don't get upset at these millennials right now that don't understand the crash, right? Because they've matured, they all matured and kind of became adults after 2009.
Sure.
Right? So they haven't gone through it yet.
Yeah.
But if you are one of those people, learn from the guys that have gone through it and see what you can do to prepare, because things are going to change and things aren't always going to be easy.
Yeah.
And learn what metrics matter. Because one of the things I've noticed is, you know, you can have that social media influencer, entrepreneur that has a million followers but has no revenue. And then you can have the guy who has a couple hundred followers because maybe he's new on Instagram but controls $20 million of investment assets.
Right, right. Right.
Don't judge somebody's success by their Instagram followers. Like, dig a little bit deeper and look at what's going on and look at the actions behind their words. Because I think that's where the real story's told.
That really is. And you know, we forget that when we're building a business in a time of great economy, and this is the best time to share that, the economy is at a boom right now. Like, things are good for us, folks. We are making good money. If you've got anything that can add value, solve a problem, improve a lifestyle, you're going to make money today. But just know that the darker days are coming, because it's cyclical. They've come since we've been tracking the stock market. It's cyclical. Every, 12 to 15 years, this happens. And so know that you should have some money put away. You should be looking at potential competition that you might be able to gobble up when the economy crashes. Not if, but when the economy crashes. What do you do? How do you get your team members to perform just one more degree better during a time of economic crash so that you can continue to pay them what they're getting instead of saying, hey, we got to have that talk where I got to cut everybody's pay, right? Those are the dark things that a generation right now that we're living in has not dealt with. And if we can just teach them with our words, instead of them going through it a couple of years from now,
right,
that'd be wonderful, man.
Yeah, because we have all of these social media platforms that have really grown since the last crash.
Yeah.
And it's amplifying everybody's success. There aren't enough warning signs and cautionary tales being published right now, because they're all being buried by everyone's just almost easy success.
Sure.
To me, if someone's not thriving right now, then there's some real things that need to be dissected, because they're really not going to thrive in a couple of years.
No.
And so if you fix them now, though, like, the hope, right, is the good thing is there's time to fix it. We're still in the good times.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think people realize that we are in the good times? This is the good times. They don't realize that. They think it's too steep, too competitive, too expensive.
I was really impressed. I was at Content and Commerce that Ryan Dice put on. And his opening address, I'd never seen Ryan speak. I didn't really know him. Really impressed. He did a best of times, worst of times, Tale of Two Cities introduction.
Yeah.
How it's the best of times, Amazon's doing this. It's the worst of times, Toys R Us is going bankrupt. It's the best of times. And the bottom line is, although it's an amazing time, the guys that aren't innovating are falling already, even in this time of prosperity. So I think some people are getting it. But I hope more catch on quickly.
It hurts my heart when I know that some people aren't. It just falls on deaf ears every now and again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer that, like, anybody can be an entrepreneur, but not everyone should be.
Amen.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally okay to not wear that badge. Being a phenomenal employee or a phenomenal team member, is the term you use, is a huge asset.
Huge.
And a huge opportunity for someone who's willing to do that. Like, maybe you can talk a little bit on that, on how you build your team and how you kind of focus on that.
Mantra. Well, I don't know where I heard this term, but I heard the term intrapreneur, and I thought that was such a brilliant term. And for all I know, I heard it from you in Boise or something. I don't know. But I've heard this term intrapreneur, and I thought it's such a perfect statement for all of our team members here at the headquarters that we have. We've got guys and gals who, you know, will take footage from this actual talk that we're doing, and they'll edit the right pieces out and put it on social media with a link where they can swipe up and then go and come to a live event or buy a course or a program or fill out an application for a mastermind. What the good news is we just tell them what the end result is that we want, right? Our team members. We go, hey, by the way, you are entrepreneurs. I'm the entrepreneur. You are entrepreneur, meaning you are the entrepreneur within my walls, and take your position and make the best of it.
Right.
Make the best video you can by asking for the right tools and equipment software. You know, get me in front of the right podcasts and the right magazines, etc., and figure out how to do it. And if you need the help, ask. But if not, otherwise, be an entrepreneur. And just like I figured out how to be an entrepreneur and start this brand, you can figure out how to make the most out of your department. And by empowering our team members, we've been able to grow faster than we ever have if I became the human bottleneck. Now, having said that, you cannot go and empower people who are not clear on what your vision is. So
Right. There's
building a high-performance team who is empowered to be entrepreneurs. Before you go and empower them, you have to first show them clarity of vision, clarity of path.
So it's one of my favorite quotes. I was actually just talking to my project manager on the way here. Without vision, people perish.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
It may be scriptural, but I think it's just eternal that everyone has to know where you're trying to go. Otherwise, they're going to grab the steering wheel when it's their turn and go down the wrong path.
And they may mean well.
Right.
They may mean well, but they'll go down the wrong path even though they shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. There's now the one thing on that side is I always say I encourage my team to make mistakes of ambition, not mistakes of sloth. Right.
Ooh, brilliant.
Please make, if you're going to make an error, have it be you were trying something great, not you were slacking.
Right.
You know.
Right. I'm going to steal that. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, please.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And so we are coming up to our time here at the end and of the interview. And what I wanted to address is that, to me, business is about creating the lifestyle that you want, not about just the dollars and those things. Right.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a family man and have an awesome family. What has business done for you, or how do you, I don't like the term balance, but how has business helped you be a better family man?
Yeah. Good. And I'm with you. I don't believe in work-life balance. I believe in work-life mix. And the best example I can give is, again, going back to Boise and Russell Brunson's event. 2 weeks ago, we were both in Boise, Idaho. I showed up with my 11-year-old son where, you know, I wanted him to experience other entrepreneurs who are colleagues and friends. We were going to set the world record in bubble soccer. And so I can spend time with my son in traveling and being in cars and airplanes and at restaurants together. And I can expose him to things that you and I weren't exposed as kids. You know,
yeah.
We were talking about upstairs in the office that at 11 years old, I was lighting a G.I. Joe on fire and having a good time. He set a record in bubble soccer, cleared a room with the SWAT team, hung out with you and Russell Brunson and Gary Vaynerchuk. And like, wow, what an advantage.
Yes.
He's getting right. And so my work has allowed me to spend more time with my family, because the more I can scale my business and empower my team, I can buy back time with my kids, with my wife. We have a house manager who does our laundry, not because we're pretentious, and does our shopping, not because we're pretentious. I want to buy back my wife's time so that I can spend, we only have a finite amount of time on this planet. I want to buy back my wife's time so that she can focus on writing her cookbooks. That's her purpose on this planet. And I can support her and encourage her. So people who think I just want to make enough money to get by or to live better than my friends, what if you can actually 10X that, as Grant Cardone says, and actually buy back your spouse's time, get them out of their day job and live a better job. Fly first class everywhere. That's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with flying first class everywhere. But again, it's having high expectations and standards.
If you never set the goals high, right, then they're not going to even be
exactly
experienced or realized. And so kind of the last question I've asked everyone from the early days of my show back in 2011 is, because this is about a lifestyle and because this is about you living,
sure,
what's one major item on your personal bucket list that you're going to do in the next 12 months?
Oh, my gosh. Great question. I've been putting this off for about 5 years, which was writing a book. And so I've always thought that anyone who goes through an entrepreneurial journey for 2 decades, like I have now, writing a book, and I found a million reasons to put it off. Look, I make enough money, I make enough impact, our franchise is growing, coaching is growing. But I also realize, as we talked about, so many people don't realize how important it is to be a great leader, to have clarity of vision and path, and to build a high-performance team. And like me, they were probably or are suffering through anxiety attacks and essential tremors and maybe drinking heavily or drugged up to numb the pain. And so I've committed to writing a book, and I'm actually on the second draft now, and the book actually will be published July of 2018.
Awesome. Yeah. And that is called?
Man Up, Cut Your BS, and Dominate Your Path.
I love it. And so if people to learn more, obviously we'll link, but where do they go? What's the next step to learn more about Bedros and who you are and what you do?
Oh, sure. The easiest place to go is to my blog, bedroskulian.com, where we'll turn on the cameras and I'll just start ranting and we'll put up videos up on my blog. So bedroskulian.com. And then of course I'll just frantically write blog posts and put them up there for anyone to consume and take action on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you everyone for tuning in, for listening to this amazing interview with Bedros Kulian. It's your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with Tyler Jorgensen. Please make sure to subscribe so you're first to hear new interviews and episodes. If you found this podcast to be valuable, please share it with a friend. Don't forget to visit our online dojo at bizninja.com to claim your reward for listening to the show.